Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
So often the Christmas season becomes commercialized and rather overwhelming. For the next few moments, we invite you to join us with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word as we turn our hearts towards the Christ of Christmas. Stay with us. So many things are fighting for our attention this time of year. There are family gatherings and church fellowships and time to shop and time to spend with friends. You know, there is one that deserves your utmost attention, your utmost worship. He is the center of it all, the Christ of Christmas. And today on Daily in the Word, we're going to focus on Jesus. He is more than the reason for the season. He is the beginning and the end, God in the flesh, the God-man, the Redeemer, the Heavenly King, sent to be our Savior. Welcome to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, Dr. Chappell helps us to focus on Christmas. Before we join our message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources to help you in your spiritual growth, and you'll find out more information about this program and this ministry, dailyintheword.org. Refer a friend to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and daily devotional. You'll enjoy these resources, and so will someone that you love this season. All of it's to be found at dailyintheword.org. Today, we look at God's promise of a Savior. Here's Paul Chappell.
Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you have given to us the authoritative word of God to be a guide and to be a help in our lives. And Lord, we pray this morning that as we consider this great promise of a Savior, that we would be thankful, that we would grow in our understanding of Christ. And Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Several years ago, there was a television interview where Bryant Gumbel was interviewing Larry King. It was a little bit of a different type of an interview to have Larry King being the one who was interviewed and not the one who was interviewing. But Bryant Gumbel was interviewing Larry King, and Larry King, who has a Jewish background, was asked this question by Gumbel. Bryant Gumbel asked, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? If you could ask God one question, what would it be? And Larry King thought about that for a moment, and then he said, I would ask God, did he have a son? Did he have a son? You see, King knows that if God has already manifested himself with an earthly Messiah, and if that Messiah was Jesus, then King's hopes are false hopes today. If he indeed has not placed his hope in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some time ago, a song was written over 100 years ago that asked the same question. The song simply said, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? And in the chorus, the songwriter answered the question by saying, this is Christ the Lord. The question about Jesus, the question about who he is, the question about why he came, has been asked for hundreds of years. And it has been answered even before he ever came here in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah addresses the question of Jesus Christ. And the book of Isaiah, though it was written nearly 750 years before Jesus ever arrived on this earth, helps us to understand the ministry of Jesus, and it helps us to understand the message of Jesus Christ. Isaiah is generally regarded as the greatest of all the prophets. And when you read the book of Isaiah, and when you ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate your heart and mind regarding its contents, it becomes very clear that Isaiah is really the prophet of redemption. Isaiah's message, the theme of this book, is the redemption of the people of God. And this book of the Bible is filled with references to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his redemptive work when he would come to this planet. Now that's what Isaiah 7:14 is all about. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." I want you to notice with me this morning in the scriptures the promise of a Savior. The promise of a Savior. And we see, first of all, in the passage before us that this is a miraculous promise. This is a miraculous promise. You see, the Bible tells us concerning the coming of Jesus Christ that his entry into this world would be no ordinary entry, but it would be, in fact, a miraculous entry to this planet Earth. Notice several things about this miraculous promise. First of all, we see in the scriptures, it is miraculous in its precision. I am always amazed as I study this particular passage and as I study how that God would become man and dwell among us, the tremendous precision with which his coming was predicted. The Bible tells us, for example, how Jesus would come. The Bible tells us in this verse that a virgin shall conceive. One who had never known a man. One who had never known a man intimately. One who was pure, chaste, and prepared. Something that humanly speaking is deemed impossible, yet with God all things are possible. And the Bible says here in the scriptures that a virgin would conceive. So we see from this passage of scripture how Jesus would come. The Bible also tells us when Jesus would come. And in Daniel 9:25 we have a prophecy concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. And in that verse the word week means a set of sevens. Thus we know from this particular verse that Daniel was prophesying that 490 years from that prophecy, 490 years after the reign of this Persian king by the name of Cyrus, that Jesus Christ would come. And when you study the chronology and the calendars, you will find that exactly 490 years from Daniel's prophecy, Jesus Christ was born. You see, the prophets were predicting the coming of the Messiah. The Bible tells us how he would come. The Bible tells us when he would come. The Bible even tells us in the Old Testament prophecies where Jesus would arrive. The Bible tells us where he would be born. Micah 5 and verse 2, the Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." God says, Bethlehem, from you, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, from you there is going to come forth unto me the ruler of Israel. And so Micah 5:2 told us where Jesus would come. And then, of course, Isaiah tells us over and over again why Jesus would come. The Old Testament not only prophesied how, the Old Testament not only prophesied when, the Old Testament not only prophesied where, but the Old Testament prophesied why Jesus Christ would come. In fact, in Isaiah 53, in verse number 5, the Bible says it this way, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities." Isaiah 50 and verse 6 says it this way, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." And I believe you'll understand from reading those words that 750 years before Jesus Christ ever came, the prophets told us exactly how he would come. They told us when he would come. They told us where he would be born. And they told us why he would come. The reason he came to this earth was that he might shed his blood on Calvary's tree so that our sins would be paid for, so that we might receive the gift of salvation that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now notice it was, first of all, miraculous in its precision. But notice, secondly, the Bible says that it was miraculous in its place. It was miraculous in its place. Now, how in the world could we put a significance to this little town of Bethlehem? And I think when you read and when you understand, the fullness of time was come. The Bible says God sent forth his son. The Bible says that as that time came, the political scene of the known world began to shift. And as the political scene of the known world began to shift, God saw fit to send Mary and Joseph into a place called Bethlehem. We realize that with God, there are no accidents. We realize that with God, even political structures are not accidental, because the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And so when Caesar made his decree and when Mary and Joseph found themselves going to Bethlehem, it was not of accident, because they were of the house and lineage of David, and Bethlehem was the city of David, and the prophets had said in the Old Testament that this Messiah, when he would come as the one who would sit on David's throne. And so in Luke chapter 1 and verse 32, when God says that he would give to his son the throne of his father David, we recognize that even this place of Bethlehem becomes very significant as a city of David. And while Jesus was not received as the king in his first coming, and while the Bible says he was despised and rejected of men in his first coming, I want to remind you this morning that the prophecy of Luke 1:32 will be fulfilled at the second coming of Jesus Christ. That prophecy will be fulfilled that says that he will rule on the throne of his father David. So when we think about the precision of this tremendous, tremendous promise, we realize that every detail was recorded. So we see in the scriptures, first of all, concerning this miraculous promise, that it was miraculous in its precision. It was miraculous in its place, being Bethlehem. And of course, thirdly, it was miraculous in its person. Miraculous in its person. And by this, I mean the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Would you turn over for a moment to Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1 and verse 34. And let's be reminded this morning of this great doctrine of the virgin birth of Christ. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 34. But just for a glimpse this morning as we consider the miraculous promise of Christ, Luke 1 and verse 34 says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And when you study the portions of Scripture that we'll be reading this month, you'll see that they are replete with illustrations. They are replete with references to the fact that Mary knew not a man, that Mary was a virgin. The Bible protects that truth, because were it not for that truth, then the Holy Spirit's conception would be null and void, and then the deity of Christ would be null and void. And all of these doctrines are interrelated. And so Mary says in this verse, "How shall this be, being that I know not a man?" And verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." You see, this promise is miraculous in its person, because the person who fulfilled the promise is the Holy Spirit of God. And Mary said, "I know not a man." But here the angel says that the Holy Spirit will overshadow thee. The Holy Spirit of God will come upon thee, and you will conceive of the Holy Spirit of God. And so when we consider the promise of the Savior, we must realize this morning that this indeed is a miraculous promise. But notice, secondly, as we look into the scriptures even further, that it was a manifested promise. It was a manifested promise. Now, all of us have heard promises that never seem to manifest themselves, whether it be those who would predict the coming of Christ, and certainly no one's going to predict that. Jesus said that no man will know the day nor the hour when he would come. But some have falsely predicted the day when Christ would come. And then even we think of lesser important things, such as the weather predictions we always get. Have you ever noticed that earthly predictions seem to fail? And they never seem to manifest themselves in the way that people predict so often. And that's true in sports. That's true in other categories of life. But the great thing about the promise of the Savior is that this promise was manifested to mankind. Now, several things can be seen. First of all, this promise was manifested to Mary. And back in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, we once again see this manifestation. Luke 1:30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Here we see that this promise was manifested to Mary. And I believe today that you and I understand from the scriptures that this promise of 750 years before Mary now is being made evident to her personally. And I believe it's important to realize that before Mary would ever have this promise manifested to her, before she would ever bring forth the Christ child, she first would conceive of him in her heart. And then she would conceive of him in her womb. And she had to believe the promise of the angel and receive and trust God's word on that account. And then God used her to bring forth the Christ child. So it was manifested, first of all, to Mary. Secondly, it was manifested to Joseph. And of course, Joseph, the Bible says in Matthew 1 and verse number 20, heard from the angel who said unto him, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife." And I suppose every one of us can have some empathy for Joseph. He was espoused to Mary. They were preparing for marriage. And they had waited and been pure in their life and godly. And now the news comes that his wife, as the Bible says, was great with child. And we think of Joseph. And we think how he was stunned. And in a moment of wonderment, the angel came to him and said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife." Joseph struggled at first. And sometimes Joseph in the Christmas story is the guy that might be the most misunderstood. I heard about a little 8-year-old recently who was showing a picture to his 4-year-old sister. And as he showed her the picture, he said, "Now right here, this is a picture of Mary. And this is a picture of baby Jesus." And they were looking at the picture of Mary and baby Jesus. And the 4-year-old said, "Where's Joseph?" And the 8-year-old thought about it for a minute and said, "He's taking the picture." And I guess that was pretty quick thinking. I don't know. But sometimes Joseph, he's kind of left out of the picture. But you know, it doesn't matter who you are this morning or whether you're noticed a lot or not. The fact is that God is manifesting himself to you through this very message this morning. And that God is manifesting a promise to you. And God manifested that promise to Mary. And God manifested that promise to Joseph. And frankly, God manifested that promise to the entire world. Because there is no book that has outsold the Bible. There is no message that has ever been preached like the message of Jesus Christ. And this message has been preached to the Jews and to the Gentiles for 2,000 years. He has been manifesting himself to the known world. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, "Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You see, this message is not for a select few. This message is not for a particular denomination. This message is not for a particular nationality. This message of Jesus Christ is good news for everybody, everywhere. And we thank God for that. And I suppose a verse that really encapsulates what this is all about is a verse that we find in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16. And I want you to think about this manifestation of Christ to the world. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." And I want you to take note of those words. God was manifested in the flesh. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. What differentiates Christianity from the cults today? Well, one major differentiation is the fact that we believe this morning that this was God being manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was the God-man. He was not a little God becoming a bigger God. He was not a prophet who would never be God. He was God before the worlds ever began. And so the Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now, thank God the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. In other words, when God gives a promise, you can take it to the bank. When God gives a promise that His Son is going to come, that Messiah is coming 750 years prior, though undoubtedly the scoffer said it will never happen, thank God it did happen. Thank God Jesus did come. And so we see that this was a miraculous promise. It was miraculous in its precision, yes. But we see also that it was a manifested promise, and that God, who had made this promise 750 years prior, manifested it unto Mary and unto Joseph, and as you study the scriptures, unto the entire world, this truth of the gospel has been preached. And we thank God for that wonderful fact even today. And so this was a miraculous promise, and this was a manifested promise. But then I want you to notice thirdly with me this morning that it was a meaningful promise. A meaningful promise. You know, a lot of people, they look at the Bible as some kind of an archaic, irrelevant document. They look at even the Christmas story as, how does that apply to me? And sometimes they fail to recognize that there is no more applicable, there is no more relevant truth than the truth of God's Word. We don't need this morning to try to bring it down to your level, because God brought it down to all of our level when He came to this earth. And when people talk about trying to get the gospel message down to earth, it's almost an insult to an almighty God who was born in a manger. My friends, how much more down to earth does God need to make it before some people will understand it? This is the most meaningful message the world has ever received. And I want you to see this meaningful promise. The Bible says in Matthew 1 and verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now think about that phrase for a moment, "which being interpreted is." In other words, God says, I want you to know what this means. God says, I'm going to bring forth my son. I'm going to send forth a savior, and he's going to be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is. In other words, he says, now I want you to know who he is. I want you to understand who he is. I want you to understand why he is coming, which being interpreted is. And here we see in the Gospels that the name Emmanuel is a name that God wants us to understand and to comprehend. And so we see, first of all, that this promise is a promise that is meaningful in its interpretation. In its interpretation, which being interpreted is. Now, some of you have perhaps traveled in an airport where you'll see the name of a particular destination in many different languages. I remember one time in Thailand, I saw signs and it had the flight and it had the airline, and it was in German and it was in Thai and it was in Korean and it was in Japanese and it was in Vietnamese, and then somewhere down there it was in English. Now, what was that all about? And by the way, it was in Russian as well. What was that all about? It was all about interpreting so that people could understand. I mean, the airports want people to know which way to go for the right gate, for the right flight. God says, now I want you to understand. So his name is Emmanuel, but I want to interpret that for you. What does that mean? It means God with us. Sometimes it amazes me how so many religions and cults have started when God tried to make it so simple for us. I mean, he says, I want to interpret this for you. I want you to know who Jesus is. He is God with us.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And from the entire staff at Daily in the Word and Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Christ-centered New Year. We sure hope that this season you'll truly make Jesus Christ the center of your Christmas and the center of your life. Before we close today's program, I invite you to consider the question, have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? We heard about that in this morning's message, and friend, it's as simple as making a faith decision. to once and for all let go of whatever you're trusting for eternal salvation and to trust Christ alone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, you could call right now. You could bow your head and heart and in the privacy of your own life, invite Jesus Christ into your life as your one and only Savior once and for all. It's a simple decision, but it's a great decision. As you enjoy a busy but memory-filled holiday season, I want to encourage you to visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the link to the bookstore. You'll find not only some great resources to strengthen your own walk with Christ, you'll find a lot of wonderful gift ideas, books and resources for spiritual growth, the kinds of gifts that are Christ-centered, that are biblical, that will help those you love to strengthen their own faith over the Christmas season and well into the new year. All of these resources are found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org, and click on the link that says bookstore. Friend, you can contact us here at Daily in the Word. We love to hear from our listeners. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.